views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my mission is to help you tune in to the vibrant, powerful person you were always meant to be so that you can create a life you love at work, at home, and at play. Today, I have a real firecracker of a woman on the line with me named Tara Davis. Tara works with busy professional couples who are exhausted and overwhelmed by family, marriage, and commitments. She helps them bring back the intimacy in their relationship, create more personal time for fun, and teaches them to communicate on a level where both partners can feel heard and appreciated. Tara rekindled the intimacy in her relationship with her husband by becoming aware of her own objections, things like finger pointing, blaming, and avoidance, and by changing both her beliefs about what she thought marriage was supposed to be, as well as the way she communicated. Tara has created the Relationship Playbook for Marriage, not only to give her clients the tools to bring intimacy, connection, and playfulness back into their marriage, but also to create precious me time for each partner. Today, she's here to share the four false core beliefs holding you back from living your greatest life. Tara, welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show.
Hi, Debbie. Thank you. Listening to that is so fun because it reminds me of all the work I've done.
Yes. Isn't that the truth? Yeah. So actually, I would love to start there. And I mean, keeping in mind that half an hour goes by in a blink, I would love for you to just share a bit more of your own story so that our listeners know who you are as a woman.
Thank you. I would love to, because I feel like it is so important for us to connect as women so that we realize and we know we are not the only one experiencing what we're experiencing. And I think as women too, kind of culturally, we're pitted against each other. And so when we get to share our own journeys and our own vulnerability in the space that we are, we realize, oh God, you're going through that too? Oh my gosh, me too. And so, yes, I love, love, love to share my story because I've just dug in so deep and it's been a powerful, incredibly changing journey. So for the first of all, I'll just tell you, I got married because I had already had a child from a previous relationship that just didn't work out. And it was so funny when we look back, we will both say, I will say, oh yeah, I got married because you were this bad boy who my parents didn't like. And, well, they liked him, but he was a really bad boy. And he was a rebel. He was super cute. And I was like, oh my gosh, and I can leave. So yes, let's get married. And so that is where our relationship began. And it's been so interesting, the evolution in the process, because about 15 years ago, I really started waking up to personal development. And I say 15 years, I'm almost 50 here in about a month and a half. And so when I say, you know, 15 years ago, that kind of gives you we've been together for 28 years.
Okay.
And so about 15 years ago, I started waking up and going, what is this personal development thing and self-awareness and consciousness? Like, this was all new to me. And I started on this path because I love learning. Like, if I could be in school all the time, that would be me. And so it was another path for me to start learning on. Now, my background is in psychology. So I already was fascinated with the workings of the brain and why we do what we do. So I started on this path of personal development. And as soon as I did, of course, my husband was like, what is this? What are you shifting and changing about you? What are you doing? And I was like, you know, such a better way of life. And I would finger point and saying, babe, you need to change this stuff about you. Yes. And, you know, I continued for years of like, well, it's not me in our marriage that's having the problem. It's you, you know? And
you just have to evolve, honey. Come on.
Come on. It would be so much better if you just jump on the bandwagon. And so for years, God, I was such a nag, but my intentions were so honorable, like were so good because I really wanted to join this movement that I had awakened to. And it was challenging and hard because I had to look at myself and look at my stuff, but it was ultimately so much better. But again, I was still pointing the finger at him that, well, you know, if we have any issues in our marriage, they're still about you because I'm doing my work. And so right as I continued to work and evolve, I realized, oh, I can stop finger pointing because whatever he's showing up with, whatever anger or jealousy or, you know, any of those things that we all have, I'm reflecting that to him. Like there came this moment when I had this realization of like, everyone is a mirror to me.
Yes.
Oh my God. Everyone is a mirror. That means my husband is a mirror. Like, oh my God, it's not about him. It's about me. Like it was just, again, this next level of realization. And so then I began on this next level. Of course, I always want him to come with me on this journey.
Because it's so fun. You'd love to have the company.
Yes. Yes. Having that partner to do the work with you and to, you know, commiserate and celebrate and all of that is so much fun. But looking back, he's now joining my bandwagon, but it's so interesting because every day I look back and think, if he had not shown up exactly as he's been showing up every single day, I would not have had the gift and the opportunity to do the work so deeply that I have done, because I would have been complacent. There would have been really no work for me to do or no lessons to learn. And so by him digging in his heels and refusing and saying, I'm really fine where I'm at, had he not done that, I would probably have not been as strong and wise as I am and be able to have so much to offer because I have done the work. And so I do tell him, even in our moments of quarreling, I will say, God, babe, just again, thanks for showing up because I get to show up even more for me. And so
yes,
that has been our evolution.
I just can so relate to that because it is so very true when we stop taking things personally and start allowing ourselves to see things for how they really are, like the mirrors. So many of us, we just don't want to accept that the way another person is behaving might be mirroring something for us, because that to us feels like a fault. It feels like there's something wrong with us. And it's such an important piece of truly becoming self-aware, right?
Yes, it's that key piece of waking up. And I will, this is one of the easiest things when people say, well, how do I know what that looks like? What do you mean someone's a mirror? So when we find ourselves triggered, and triggered meaning I'm angry about something, or God, that's setting me off, or I feel really judgmental, or I want to just gossip or talk about this.
Or even what a jerk.
What a jerk.
Exactly.
Right? Can you believe that person did that? There is something within you, and you might have to dig a little bit. It might not be right on the surface, but there's something within you that is extremely similar that you subconsciously are feeling is not in alignment with who you are.
Right.
And so 99.99999% of the time when you are triggered, there is something in there for you. And again, most people will be like, no, I don't do that. Well, there's some form of whatever is transpiring that's yours.
Yes. And you know what? I would argue that 100% of the time. Well, it is. And sometimes it's just a matter of even showing you how far you've grown. So it's a matter of, oh, that's making me angry. What's going on? Oh, I'm fine now. You know, it happens that quickly, but that's that other 0.1% or 0.1% that you were leaving out of there, right? It 100% of the time is there for you.
And it could be, you know, and let's take the example of an abused wife or husband and sending them so much love, but perhaps for them, they don't abuse, they're not the abuser. Perhaps for them, the piece is showing up for themselves.
Yes.
Yes. Right? That could be the key piece. Or someone who is verbally abused, show up for yourself. That's the piece that's not in alignment. You're not speaking up. Or the person which we all, you know, can unfortunately identify the perpetual victim.
Yes.
They are not showing up for themselves.
Absolutely. Okay, so I can sense here that we can go off to all these different little rabbit holes because there's just so much here. So let's take a step back and let's get into the four false core beliefs because we mentioned them in the intro. I want to make sure that we get to them.
Mm-hmm.
What are they?
Yes, so they are, and by and large, these are running subconsciously, perhaps even unconsciously, but they run our lives until we check and we become aware of them. So they are, I'm helpless, I'm not smart enough or not good enough, I'm not lovable, and I'm not safe. And so the easiest one to identify is I'm not safe. I mean, that's usually the physical space of perhaps you grew up in a, you know, really tumultuous childhood. And we have this thing of, oh my God, I'm physically not safe. And so that story, and I don't diminish it by using that story, but we will hold that thing of, I'm not safe. Men are not safe. Women are not safe. It's not safe to be in a relationship. And that story itself will run our life. When we have, I'm not smart enough, which is actually, I'm not smart enough or I'm not good enough, is one of the biggest ones that we use to stop ourselves from moving forward in our relationships, moving forward in our jobs, moving forward with our children, because we have that story playing that, well, I'm just not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's easy to identify, like for me. So I'm really wanting to be out more public speaking. And I used to do public speaking, 8 to 10 years ago. And I was in Toastmasters, which really prepared me. And I really enjoy it.
Right.
And so here's what I noticed is that I will set myself up to do a speaking engagement. And, you know, the day comes for, gets closer and closer. I'm like, oh my God, I just need to cancel. Like I can hear this story in my mind because that thing is playing back there. Of, oh, I'm really not good enough. Like, are they going to even believe what I have to say? And so it's just the recognizing of how we're almost self-sabotaging. Why? Well, then there's that story. Well, I really am not smart enough. You know, so the stories will play in that background, kind of like a ticker tape or, you know, like the leaderboard, like that story is just kind of running back there. So we find ourselves triggered. This can also be super helpful diving in to know, God, what is my core belief? And here's another really simple, well, I say simple because nothing is really that simple, but
in time, it feels simple.
In time, it feels simple. When you are, you know, aware of the practice and you continually are moving forward with the practice, it becomes easier. How's that?
Yes.
So when you notice yourself triggered, and you can recognize that trigger, maybe even in the moment, or maybe, you know, 15 minutes later, an hour later, you can look back and go, okay, what was that piece? Like, did I feel unlovable? Like, what was that? Or was I reacting out of that story? And until we really look back, and so we form our personalities, our behaviors from ages 1 or 0 through 7.
Right.
Everything is pretty much done by that point. And so we have already, by our surroundings, by the people who take care of us, by society, by our culture, religion, teachers, those coaches around us, we form our beliefs about society, about the world, and about ourselves. And so if we constantly have a caregiver or a teacher or a coach who is just hammering on us for whatever, we form this belief subconsciously that says, I'm just not even good enough. So we won't reach for that promotion. We won't reach for that spouse that we just think, God, she or he is the bomb diggity and I want to go for it. But you know, I'm not that good enough. So these false beliefs that we hold can show up all day long, every day, until we start identifying and like, oh God, I didn't even realize this was there. That's exactly why I don't move forward. And so by setting the intention to your higher self, to God, whomever it is that you see as that higher being, set that intention to start becoming aware of which one of those beliefs, and it could be all of them, it could be two of them, it could be one, which one of those is playing out in your life, and then set the intention, I am ready and willing to see how this is playing out in my life. Like just today, universe, I am ready today to see how this is playing out, and then just be open. And here's what's fun is because, again, our ego wants to come front and center and go, sister, you are good. Baby, nothing's wrong with you. Mm-hmm. And so then what will happen is that we'll hear that little voice and go, and that little voice will say, hey, here it is. It's right here. And you'll go, oh, no, that's not it. Yeah. We've asked for it. Now it's our job to listen.
Yes. I'm guessing you're probably familiar with Bruce Lipton.
Oh gosh, yes.
Oh, I love him. Anyway,
love it.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Bruce Lipton actually talks about that tape player playing in the background, these stories that you're talking about, right?
Yes.
And he says, so you can be saying to yourself, no, honey, you've got this, you're good. And if the story is playing in the background, it's still there. You haven't turned off the tape recorder.
Right.
So you're still hearing, I can't do this. I'm not smart enough. I'm going to fail. I'm going to mess up. Yeah. Yeah. So how about we just take one of these four core beliefs and kind of just work through how a person would kind of identify them. You've touched on a lot of this, but mm-hmm. how they would identify it, how they might shift them, if there's a specific tool you can share. How about we do that? Does that mm-hmm. sound okay?
Yes. Yes. Perfect. And so let's take the example of growing up, in poverty, of not having very, very much.
Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking the one that's jumping out for me is the lovable one.
Yes.
I'm not lovable because I think that's one people don't touch on or don't think about as much.
Yes. Okay. So I will use myself as an example because that one was a big one playing out for me until I really rooted out the core of it and realized that, man, okay, I want to shift this. So yeah. So for me, we did grow up, we weren't necessarily impoverished, but we did not have very much. My parents put us four children through private school. My dad worked, my mom didn't work at the time. And so I kept thinking, and then I started realizing, about six, 7 years old, like, oh, wait a minute, other people have different things than us. And other people have different cars than us. And wait a minute, she's wearing these really cool shoes. So that, for me, started forming this, I am not lovable, because then I started realizing that people I stood out from people because I had different clothing, or I had hand-me-downs, or we didn't drive a car that was good enough, or that I presumed, right? So I started forming this belief that I'm not lovable. And here's what also played out in that story is because my dad worked so hard to provide and worked several jobs to put four children through private school, he was not around. And so I took that to mean he didn't love me, which was my own false formed belief. But then I formed that, well, of course I'm not lovable because he's not around to love me. So then I started searching out through all kinds of relationships. Well, do you love me? Well, do you love me? Because I'm just not even lovable. So like that just showed up throughout my entire life of I'm not lovable. And I would sabotage my relationships. I would look for love in all the wrong places. Yeah. That I'm not lovable is such a core false belief. So then I would get into these relationships that were terrible because I didn't think I was lovable. And then I wouldn't show up for myself when I finally got married to my husband. But then I was like, well, I'm not really that lovable, so I don't have to show up that much because he really doesn't love me that much. So then all of this stuff just, and it does. And I love that you're chuckling because it does sound funny, right? I mean, thank God we can laugh at it.
Well, I laugh because it's so relatable.
Yeah.
I mean, so because we do this to ourselves, it's sad how much we do it, how much we've internalized these messages and completely accepted them, so much so that we're even passing them on to the next generation.
Yes.
Right. And that's really what it comes down to. Part of being a vibrant, powerful mom is digging into what am I doing right now that's getting in the way of me really creating a life that I love.
Yes. And I love that you just said that and brought it back home to the mom, because once I did start on my personal journey, it occurred to me, I have four boys. It occurred to me, this is the 100% most important job. Oh, it just brings tears, that I will ever have on this planet is forming these three children. Now, granted, my personal belief is they've chosen me.
Of course, we
all incarnate and they've chosen me for what I am going to do and how I will help them and help mold them and shape them. But it occurred to me that, oh my God, there will never be a more important job than these three boys. And so that also allowed me, gave me the opportunity to step it up 10x like crazy. So then I started realizing, okay, so I'm stepping it up. Good God, man, my husband, you better show up too. And so, so that came back to the finger pointing. And then looking back, thank God, I don't know how our oldest one turned out as marvelously as he did.
Yes. Isn't that funny?
Right. And so we are continuously, however we're showing up moment to moment for ourselves, imprinting on our children what a relationship looks like, what a woman shows up like, what a man shows up like, how we interact with our children, how we interact through an argument or a disagreement. Like, we are showing them on the moment by moment basis how a human being shows up in life. So when that realization comes to you and really hits home, you're like, holy cow.
Yes. Well, it's true. But also keeping in mind that we're doing some mirroring for them. They're doing some mirroring for us. Like, it is a collaboration. They have chosen you.
Right.
And they're going to help you grow and you're going to help them grow. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's just so much there that we can do and we can put the guilt aside. But unfortunately, when you feel like you're not lovable, or when you feel like you're not smart enough, you often think that, well, I can't do this. I'm messing everything up for them completely, right? We take it on ourselves. We've become very, very good at doing that.
Yes.
So,
and I love Gabby Bernstein. I love how she just really continually teaches bringing it back to the moment. And this morning I was having an internal battle about something that I've been trying to work through. And I'm like, still not seeing, like, gosh, what is this bigger piece? And I was like, oh, right. I have not asked the universe. I'm willing to see this differently. How can I see this differently? And as soon as I didn't get the answer right away, but I felt this shift and I felt a lightness in me of like, oh, right. I don't have to figure it out. Like, it's not up to me to figure out the answer. I've asked for that help in that second of prayer. Then I just have to be open to allowing that answer to come to me. And it's like, oh, like my shoulders just, go, whew.
Absolutely. I love that because it so clearly says, hey, universe, help me out here. Mm-hmm. One of the things I love to use is just changing my sentence to, I wonder how I can do this. Rather than thinking, I can't do this, I can't figure this out, I change it right away to, I wonder how I can do this. I wonder how I can make this work or whatever, which is the same idea. Mm-hmm. However, I love that yours clearly says, okay, universe, show me how I can do this.
Well, and I really love yours because as you say, I wonder how I can do this. You're changing that brain, that the neural pathways in your brain.
Absolutely.
Say, oh, instead of I can't, like we are constantly giving ourselves the messages, right? Of I can or I can't, or when we say, oh, I wonder how I can, then your brain is almost getting to work on, oh.
Absolutely. Yes.
This is completely different.
So did I mention that 25 minutes was going to go by in a blink?
Right.
Half an hour is just gone like that. So Tara has a website at therelationshipplaybookformarriage.com. And you can certainly find out more about her there. Now, Tara, when you and I talked before today's show, you were telling me that your focus has shifted a bit lately from the relationship, which is obviously still very important and something mm-hmm. that you definitely help people with, but to the individual and specifically moms looking after themselves first. So mm-hmm. we've only got a couple minutes left. Well, we actually only have about a minute left. Can you mm-hmm. tell us a bit about the free webinar that you have coming up on this topic?
Yep. Okay. So the workshops are for women only. Yet my shift or my focus is always on couples, but I really am focusing and shifting right now on women and supporting women in this journey that is 100% on topic, on point. And right now in the world, as women, we are showing up like we have never shown up before. So mm-hmm. that is the support that I'm creating in these weekend retreats, is how we show up as women together.
Okay. And from our previous conversation, I got the feeling that you were going more deeply into this whole self-love piece, right?
Treat myself first.
Yeah. So I want to explore this further with you, and I'm hoping you'll come back on the show. We'll delve more deeply into it and talk more about the self-love stuff. Sound good?
I would love it.
All right. Tara, thank you so much for joining me on today's show. I think core beliefs are such a big part of living a vibrant, powerful life. And I really thank you for your message.
Thank you, Debbie.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you to our listeners. I appreciate you always. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik and her guest, Tara Davis, wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters N-R-G.com.